it's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, it's great to have Mac and Gatos on the program. Remember, 1 hour from now, the Big Four at Four. Four big blockbuster stories over the span of about 20 minutes to start the 4 o'clock hour. President Donald Trump has a dream opponent. So I know there's an election this year.
Midterm, yeah.
And then Trump will run for re-election. Who does he want to face? He's got a dream opponent. He's not very nice today to this dream opponent.
No, he is not.
No, he is not.
I dream about Biden. That's a dream. Look, Joe Biden ran three times. He never got more than 1%. And President Obama took him out of the garbage heap, and everybody was shocked that he did.
Wait a minute. What was that last part? Where did Obama find Joe Biden?
I dream about Biden. That's a dream. Look, Joe Biden ran three times. He never got more than 1%. And President Obama took him out of the garbage heap, and everybody was shocked that he did.
Wow. Joe Biden wasn't in the garbage heap. He was in Congress. I mean, he's been
senator,
a Congress,
sure.
Yeah, senator for a long time.
But Trump does have something. Right. The garbage heap, is that really necessary to say?
No.
Obviously, in this day and age, I guess it is. But
you go back and look at how he succeeded in running when he ran two or three times. I don't think he ever broke one. He was at the one or less level, 1% or less level.
Yes, he's absolutely right. Joe Biden did run for president before and never even got close. Here's the difference now. Okay, here's the difference. Joe Biden became the vice president.
He did.
Okay.
Not off of a garbage heap.
Well, for 8 years, he became the vice president.
Right. And there was a reason why Obama chose Joe Biden.
Right. And his stature now, at least in politics, has gone up. He will be, if he runs for president, a former vice president.
Right.
Running against Donald Trump. He's not a senator running against anybody for president. He's a former vice president. It's a big deal.
And by the way, we don't know if Joe Biden's going to run.
I think he said in January he was going to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump really cares who he runs against, though.
I'd love to have it be Biden. I think I'd like to have any one of those people that we're talking about. You know, there's probably the group of seven or eight right now. I'd like to run against any one of them.
Can I tell you something? I don't know who the six or seven are. I've got a couple of guesses.
Well, anybody from the last election, right? They beat them all.
If the economy is good, I don't see any Democrat beating Donald Trump.
See, that's the secret. That's the secret right there.
That's
if you
it.
Have a strong economy and we are not in imminent danger from terrorism or from another country with
right.
nukes or anything like that, we're not going to want to change. You want to stay kind of sort of the same course, and you are willing to put up with, oh, I don't know, separating children from their parents.
I don't know if you're willing to put up with it, but I know what you're
but
saying.
You know, yeah, that he will win despite all the mistakes or all the gaffes or all the whatever that that you can point out during his presidency.
Yeah, I don't think he does gaffes. I think that he either does something with a big splash that's successful, or he does something with a big splash that's unsuccessful. I mean, and you
know, there's really no middle ground.
Right. He doesn't do anything just okay.
Mm-hmm.
He either does it pretty well, and there are many things that I think Trump has done well, and then you've got a whole slew of things that you shake your head and say, did he really talk about the U.S. intelligence and Russia and like that, and did he really do that in Charlottesville, and did he really say this,
right.
did he really separate kids? But you can go on the other side and say, okay, let's say you're out there and you're a conservative. You're probably not going to vote for Joe Biden.
Not after he chose... He's chosen, or he will choose two Supreme Court justices that are probably
Huge.
Going to set the tone for the Supreme Court for the next 30, 40 years.
He could have a third.
Correct.
So if you're a conservative Republican, you're probably going to vote Trump.
It's sad because on a personal level, a lot of people like Joe Biden, but
I like Joe Biden.
On a political level, I don't think Biden would have a chance either.
I don't know. I think Joe Biden has become a likable man. And
yeah.
I think he's become a sympathetic figure, too, because so much tragedy has hit his family. But I don't think everybody calls him, you know, Uncle Joe. He'll have gaffes. He'll say things that are really stupid, and they're gaffes. They're not, I'm separating your, you know, children from parents.
Right.
But I don't know if Joe Biden, boy, that would be two old people running for president. Trump and Biden, wow, in their late 70s.
Oh, I know. Could it be Hillary, though, again?
Ugh.
There have been five times in the last month alone Hillary Clinton has sent out emails touting her super PAC's role.
Now, was it from her private email?
From that server that,
Do you really want to get into that again? I don't want to see Hillary run.
No, I think that would be the, I don't want to do Groundhog Day 4 years down the road.
One was bad enough.
Right, we don't need that.
Trump-Hillary was bad enough.
But again, this is somebody that will not go away, who has been advised to maybe not run, and she did. I mean,
Well, she fixed it.
No, that was Jeb. Jeb was supposed to fix it.
No. The superdelegates and, you know, the Democratic Party making sure that Bernie Sanders didn't get a fair shake.
Oh,
they fixed it.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha.
So
yeah.
I think if it went the way it should have went, Bernie was probably going to lose to Trump, not Hillary.
But I hope that she gets...
Because I picked Trump to win.
I hope she gets the idea, though, that, you know what, it would not be good for the Democrats. It would not be good for you personally.
It'd be
because
bad for America.
You would not win. You would not win again if the economy is strong.
Do you want to hear these two yell at each other again? I don't.
No, quite frankly, I don't.
And here's the thing. There is a poll that says almost 75% of Democrats want a fresh face for a 2020 nominee. You know, the fresh face years ago in 08, Barack Obama. But
long time ago was Bill Clinton.
They don't have a Bill Clinton or Barack Obama.
Not right now, no.
They have Bernie Sanders. He's about the most charismatic guy on the Democratic side. And that's not really saying a whole lot. But he got young people excited.
Yes.
But he's a socialist. How do you vote for a socialist? I don't, as bad as Trump is, how do you vote for a socialist?
Well, you also have the idea, too, of another old white guy.
Right.
That would be running again. Yeah. I mean, just insert old white guy here. So
Hillary, Bernie, and Joe Biden are the best the Democrats have?
So far. I mean, you know, Martin O'Malley's not going to make a big splash.
I don't know anything about that guy.
Exactly. What other Democratic governor is starting to be? Remember, it's 2018. You've got less than 2 years.
Yeah.
You've got to start putting somebody out there, and the Democrats have not done anything to put a fresh face or some, you know, kind of young rock star out on the public presence.
Remember, we voted in 2016, but we put up with debates and all that other stuff a year and a half before.
Right. So
it'll start ramping up. I don't know, man. I can't look in my crystal ball and say what's going to happen in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is this, and you could take it or leave it. If that economy is good, Trump wins. He's done some really bad things to rub people the wrong way. I mean, calling, you know, Joe Biden today, I don't think he deserved that, from a pile of trash or something like that. It people will vote with their wallets, and they'll say, if my wallet is good, I know that this president can be a disgraceful idiot sometimes.
Yeah.
Other times, and I've said this too, I think he could be pretty brilliant. I truly believe that.
There are no middle ground.
No. There are times where he's really good, and there are times where he's really bad.
The poll also says that not only 75% of Democrats want a fresh face, but 58% of Democrats now believe Hillary Clinton was bad for the Democratic Party. Only 22% think she's good for the Democrats. Even if you said, well, Hillary at least could run again, what good is it going to do?
Yes.
I mean, again, you're not going to change public perception. That ship has sailed.
Let's say you're at your place of work, and you have now, over the last 3 years, gone 0-for-3 on getting bumped up in pay, bumped up, you know, in salary, given a better job, right?
Things are going well.
You go 0-for-3. You don't get any.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
You don't get a bump in pay.
Right. You don't get a raise.
You've been turned down three times. Don't you say, I got to leave and go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton, you are 0-for-whatever. And you're done. It's time to go. It's time to let somebody else, you know, into your party that could breathe, you know, some.
I mean, this may be a John Kerry situation. They're going to put somebody up there that you kind of sort of knew didn't have a shot, and you kind of saw John Kerry's star just kind of ebb and flow, and you knew George W. Bush was going to be reelected.
Yeah.
Kerry really didn't make a dent.
No. The Democrats have floated some really bad candidates up there.
Yeah.
Dukakis was a disaster. Kerry was a mess.
Right.
Could it be this year that the Democrats really don't have many people?
It doesn't look like it right now.
But you're going up against a president who should be quite beatable.
He should.
But Trump always finds a way. And that's what I said many years ago. Trump always finds a way to win.
Correct.
So we'll see.
And he probably will in 2020.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we've got gut check time. I'm gonna punch you in the gut hard this time, Mac.
Okay.
Full right-handed punch right in the bladder. Wait, where's the bladder?
No.
Is that's
that a not
low
my
blow?
Gut.
That, okay, I'll
yeah.
work on that.
All right.
It's gut check time with Mac and Gatos.
All right, Gatos, I need your gut check on a story you have not seen. You know the Burning Man Festival? It's an annual celebration of experimental art and counterculture in the dusty Nevada desert.
I have heard of it, yes.
The experts are contending with a difficult question. At Burning Man, the question of human waste has become a problem.
Lovely. Let's talk about that.
In a recent report, the Bureau of Land Management described the proliferation of attendees who have apparently forgotten or cannot make it to the festival's restrooms. Mm. This is especially a problem in the area, an area far away from the center of the festival from portable toilets.
Maybe you can just hold it and go to the W in Scottsdale.
The government's proposal? This is the Bureau of Land Management? It was not to hold it and go to the W in Scottsdale. It was to provide and hand out bags and bottles.
What does that mean? You crap in a bag?
And
wash your hands?
Pee in a bottle. No, pee in a bottle.
Are you serious?
Either to be brought by participants or for staff members to hand out.
Not going in a bag.
Your gut check. When was the last time you ever peed in a bottle?
Never. I've never done that.
Okay. So not on a road trip, not, you know, in the car.
I always think of that famous Dumb and Dumber. I love that movie. It's so stupid and funny. One of the guys was in the passenger side and he had to pee bad. But they were running away from a bad guy. And so he filled up about 8 bottles and then the cops stopped them.
Right.
And we don't need to go any further because it got pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of question is that to ask me for gut check time?
Well, some people do.
Listen, I'm a man who enjoys his own urinal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can hold it. I'm not going to have to go in a bottle.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay. What is your rule for going number two?
All right, we're done.
What is the 50? Is it a 50-mile radius?
No, we're done.
Is it a 20-mile radius?
We're done.
Mac and Gatos, gut check.
Mac, I've got a gut check for you. Anything, as long as I don't have to answer that question. If you're on social media, you are seeing this new way to relax.
All right.
And a lot of people are seeing the video. It's a massage.
Okay. That can be relaxing.
A snake massage.
Ah.
So, a slithering creature that most people fear is being put on top of you, and it slithers around your body, around your neck, around your legs, and people are paying to have this. One person says, just enjoy them and feel them. It's a boa constrictor.
Oh, perfect. Jeez.
Some longer than 6 feet.
Yeah, something that can kill you.
And yes, it goes all over your body.
See, I was expecting if you didn't tip, did they make the snake bite you like a rattlesnake?
Mac, your gut check. Would you rather go and have a snake massage to relax, or would you rather go and have goat yoga?
Now, see, I still don't understand what the goat yoga is. What are the goats
doing in the yoga? You do all the yoga poses.
Okay.
And then there are these goats around, and they either lay on top of you or they come over and sniff you.
Okay. All right. I would take the snakes over.
Really?
Yeah, the goats.
Wow.
Growing up in the country, there are two things that stink the most.
Okay.
Pig farms and goat farms. Goat farms smell god awful. So I don't like goats. I wouldn't want a goat yoga session. I would try to place my fear somewhere far, far away and let a 6-foot python, boa constrictor, whatever, slither around me. It's just that, but if I have like, you know, a knot in my muscle, how am I going to tell the snake, hey, get up, you got
a little harder.
There it is.
A little tougher.
Yeah, how do you get him to do that?
You flick it.
Flick it.
Yeah, flick it.
You ever, flick a wild animal, see what happens.
Flick
the
snake and see what happens.
Sure, okay, yeah, that
you know,
sounds good.
I think you and I have something in common for the first time in a long time.
We both hate this segment?
Other than we both hate this segment.
We both hated the questions?
But we're not scared of snakes.
Oh, I don't like snakes. Don't get me wrong. Well, but I have sat here in this studio with you.
That's what I was going
to
say.
With an albino snake, but I was not enjoying it.
No. We lost a bet a couple of years ago to Jim and Jamie from the morning show during March Madness. Our brackets were not as good as theirs.
They were busted, yeah.
And the loser of the bet had to do, what, an hour? An hour of the show.
Was it an hour?
With a snake crawling around.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had an albino python or snake or whatever.
So
it was
Christy,
like,
from the Wildlife World Zoo came.
It was like 40 feet long.
Oh, yeah. It was massive.
It was unbelievable.
It was massive.
It was yellow.
And she actually, I mean, it was like she was curling a weight. It was that heavy. She would have to lift it up and put it on the console. You thought she put like 20-pound weight bag on there. And Jim Sharp's daughter loved it. Remember that? She was like
a little
two?
Kid. Yeah, she loved it.
Oh, and she was crawling around with it, you know. Oh.
Daddy, can I pet the snake?
Oh. Sure.
Hey. Yeah, I don't mind snakes.
Oh, I can't stand them.
I don't love them, but, you know. All right, so no goat yoga.
No goat yoga.
Snake massage. Got
Maybe.
It.
All right, Gut Check brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Zero copay, zero appointments, zero hassles. The Joint Chiropractic, relief on so many levels.
All right, coming up next, Becky Lynn's got some news. We've got some traffic, and it's the one thing many people are willing to pay extra for on a plane. I'll tell you what that is next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News. KTAR News. 92.3 FM.
In about a half hour or so, the big four at four. Four big blockbuster stories you've got to hear. We'll go over that after Becky Lynn reads the news at 4 o'clock.
Basically, you've got airlines trying to find a way to nickel and dime us. They don't care if we're comfortable. They don't care if they lose your bag. They don't care if they're on time. They know they've got us. There are only a few airlines out there, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to fly one of them. We're probably going to be uncomfortable. We're in a cylinder thing, and we're good. What's the one thing we'll pay extra for when we get on a plane?
I think you've always said you are willing to pay for leg room.
Yeah.
That because you're over 6 feet tall, you are willing to pay for just, I don't even know if it's an inch.
Seriously.
For leg room, you're willing to pay more, so you'll pay for an aisle seat.
Right. There are more people that are saying, give me the more expensive option where my seat and my leg room is going to be a bit bigger.
Okay.
That's what people will pay for.
Which makes sense. I mean, if you've got somebody who... I mean, who wants to be stuck in what feels like, you know, a stroller that a child uses, really?
But here's the thing, though. It's got to come along with something.
Okay. And so it's not just the extra room.
No, you've got to let me on the plane early. Now, you think about it. Why do you want to sit on a plane early? I will tell you this. The worst thing about getting on a plane isn't how uncomfortable you are. It's if you're going to have room to stick your bag.
Up above,
yes.
Or near you.
Because everybody's bringing as much on the plane as they possibly can so they don't have to pay $25, $50,
right.
$70 to check a bag. So our carry-ons are getting bigger. And so, you know, my wife and I were flying around the country a couple weeks ago. We went to New York. We went to Atlanta. And, you know, we didn't pay for the better seat option. But, you know, when you...
The more leg room?
Correct.
Okay.
We tried to get, at least for me, an aisle seat, because that'll do great things for me. At least, you know, get an aisle. Plus, I got the bladder of a pee, Mac.
You got to go up and down.
I got to go up and down. I got to pee all the time. The toughest thing is making sure that your bag stays on that plane inside of the aircraft.
It's a horrible thing to call people. Oh, your luggage. I got you.
So sometimes you're in, like, boarding section whatever.
Yeah, like 27.
Right. Or you know, there's like boarding A, B, C, and D. Well, you don't want a D. You're not going to get your bag on the plane. You've got to be in like B. And you have no shot at A unless you pay.
Right.
So we were like in B and C. And I am telling you, there was one flight we took. Our seats, unfortunately, were in the back part of the plane.
Right.
I didn't care where I put my bag. I put it the first.
Well, yeah, the first opportunity,
but
right.
But people start getting upset about that.
I know.
Wait a second. You're in row 30, and you put your bag in row 6. And I'm like, yeah, get out of my way, Junior.
Right.
If I go all the way to the back of the plane and there's nowhere to put my bag.
You can't come back up because people are trying to get on the plane.
But then on the other hand, let's say I'm sitting in aisle 10. and, you know, I haven't gotten on the plane yet. And some guy gets on the plane, puts his bag there, goes back to 30.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, this is a disaster. I don't know. I don't want to put my bag in 30.
Right.
In row 30, I want to put it in 10. But I'm telling you, man, when you get on that plane, I don't care where my bag is. It is getting on that plane.
Well, it has to.
And I'm fine.
And you don't want to get off the plane and have to go back to get your bag and then go forward.
Even if it's not even near my seat, I stay the first chance, and it's probably, you know, people don't like it. First chance I get to put a bag up,
yeah,
it's in.
I totally hear you.
It is in.
Best
and
thing,
I know that it's there.
Best thing about having kids?
Oh.
Board early.
Nice.
If you have a child under the age of two. Right here!
That's you.
Let me get on that plane.
Hello.
Have you ever known, I've never known anyone who personally did this, but I've read some people have like fake casts and stuff.
No. Oh,
yes.
Really?
And they go and they claim they have, you know, they need extra time.
Got to tell you, I'm all for it.
I should never have told you that.
I might not be able to pull that
you
off.
Overhead storage bin grabber person, you.
Well, I used to get very nauseous on planes in my 20s for one reason or another. So I would always go and tell the person, listen, I would, like, if
what
it
mean
was,
the person, the
like
flight
the person
attendant?
At the desk, or the person when you first arrive
at the desk, at the gate at the desk,
I wanted to get like an aisle seat. I don't know if I was like a little claustrophobic and if I got a window I don't know. So I would tell the person, I said, listen, I have been known to puke on a flight, which is true.
Okay.
And I said, I'd really like to just get on early. Is that okay? And usually they always said, yeah. So I actually had a valid reason. I didn't want to throw up all over the jet.
Right.
I wanted to get on the plane.
And get comfortable.
And get comfortable. And sometimes, you know, it was Southwest, so you can actually pick your seat.
Right.
Right? You don't have a assigned seat. So that's when I used to do that, and it worked. But I didn't do it to fake it. I got to start doing that cast thing, Becky Lynn.
I should not have told you about that.
That is.
What if I go
up there with a limp? All right, you know,
no, I think it's going to take more than. Yeah, I think you're going to have a little bit more than that. But I
regurgitate,
you know,
a little.
You could probably borrow somebody's children.
That's awesome. Or like if Mac and I were on the same plane, I'd say I'm with them.
Take one and absolutely.
I'm the nanny.
This is our Manny.
I'm the Manny.
This is our Manny.
Other than the baggage, isn't it? Why do you want to get on early? It stinks sitting on the plane longer.
I totally agree, Lloyd.
Because you run out of space.
The baggage is the only reason.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I do? I get on late and I just throw somebody else's stuff right into the aisle.
All right,
then
Lloyd.
I've got my space.
Mm. Yeah. Way to go, Lloyd.
That is not appropriate.
Last one on, first one off.
You'll get dragged off like on a United flight if you do that.
Right.
Hasn't happened yet.
All right, coming up next. Forget babies. Some parents are raising thabies. Oh, for crying out loud.
What is that?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, the Big Four at 4 coming up after 4 o'clock. Four big blockbuster stories. There is we've kind of sort of talked about this before, but there is now a trend with a name that has a name attached to it. Parents are now, some parents, not all, some parents are deciding to raise their young children with no gender boundaries, no gender stereotypes. I was told the other day that I am not to refer to my daughter as someone who runs like a girl, even though she is a girl, even though she does run, in my estimation, like a girl.
What does that mean? She doesn't run well? Is that like a derogatory thing?
Well, that's what my wife says, that she'll take it and think of it as derogatory,
okay,
where boys, I think, run different than girls. I mean, okay, you see it on the playground. I don't know how else to describe it. But these parents have decided, okay, you're a boy, you're three, you want to wear a tutu, a hot pink tutu? Go ahead.
I don't get it. There are parents who say, you know what, we've got three-year-old twins, Zyler and Caden, and they can choose if they're a boy or a girl.
And notice Zyler and Caden are not gender-specific like a,
right,
you know, like a Ken and a Jennifer name.
Yeah. Aren't you making the children more confused by doing this? I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe like 20-somethings understand it, and I'm not even sure that that's the case. I'm 44. I don't get this.
So these
you're
kids,
born a boy or you're born a girl.
But they're not bringing them up as a boy or
correct,
a girl.
Correct.
They are bringing them up with no gender designation.
our kids, Caden and Zyler, are 3.5 years old, and we're raising them using they, them, their gender-neutral pronouns so that they can decide for themselves when, if, and how they want to identify as a gender.
See, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I actually believe that the boy will get pushed into doing girl stuff by the parents, and the girl will get pushed into doing boy stuff for the parents. We don't have a boy or a girl. They're not babies. They call them thabies. They bees. They T-H-E-Y-B-I-E-S. That's what parents are saying we're raising. Thabies.
Which doesn't make any sense either, because baby does not constitute male or female. A baby's a baby.
The kids notice? Mom?
Knowing the sex or the gender of your child is important to other people, partially just because it's part of the social script. They don't notice that they're any different from any other children because they have no idea that some children are she and some children are he.
So if somebody comes up and says, you're a good-looking little boy.
Right. He's not.
You can't do that. What do you mean?
They ain't. They're not.
You are such a cute little girl. Can I have a kiss?
Mm-mm.
Can't do that. I just think that's terribly confusing.
I just don't understand it.
It's like kids do what they want. But listen, a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. If they get to a point where they feel like they're transgender, well, that's something different then. I mean, that's something, you know, it's that occurs to a small part of the population.
One psychologist, professor of neuroscience and psychologist at Chicago Medical School says, that's all well and good, Mom and Dad, if you want to do that. But once your child meets the, and notice they say outer world, not the real world, the outer world, which may be daycare, preschool, or grandparents, it's pretty much impossible to maintain a gender-free state. And depending on how conventional your community is, your child could be setting in, you could be setting up your child for bullying and exclusion based on what you think is letting the child decide for themselves.
I don't think they're doing it for the best, for the goodwill of their children. I think that these parents, and there are not many of them, by the way, that are raising, as they call it, thabies. There are a couple hundred parents,
yeah,
I think, in the United States. I don't think you're doing your kid a favor. I also don't think you're doing it for your kid. I think you're trying to be this, look at me, I'm different. I'm going to raise my kids different.
I'm a super parent.
Right. But this has been done since the beginning of time. Parents raising their children. And if God said you're a boy, well, you're a boy. God said you're a girl, you're a girl.
And
then we go from there.
And you know what you don't want to do is then go to the extreme that if your daughter wants to play sports, well, let her play sports. If your kid, you know, cries when he falls, hey, toughen up, boys don't cry. You don't want to do that either.
No, I get that too.
Yeah.
But thabies.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we'll take the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour and bring you four big blockbuster stories. It's something we do every weekday afternoon. The Big Four at 4 coming up. Stick around.